Are you in a position where you're defined by your age and that's limiting you to pursue a dream or goal you want to accomplish? The More Than Your Age podcast is about having conversations with women who fully live their lives without being dictated or defined by their age. This is a space to encourage women who feel blocked to pursue a dream or goal based on their life circumstances. Welcome to the More Than Your Age podcast. I am your host, Erica Pasbarn. Let's start living life fully and become more than your age. A few years ago, I attended a friend's bachelorette party and stumbled upon something truly special. Picture this, a beautiful outdoor setting, a group of women celebrating with lots of laughter, and at the center of it all, a meticulously crafted picnic setup that oozed elegance and beauty. The genius behind this magical scene? Ray Johnson, founder of Not Your Average Picnic. Since that day, I've been intrigued by Ray's work from afar, her skill in transforming ordinary spaces into extraordinary experiences is undeniable. In today's episode, we'll uncover the beginnings of Ray's entrepreneurial journey and explore how she built her business from the ground up. Join me as we go behind the scenes of Not Your Average Picnic and discover the passion driving Ray's innovative approach. Enjoy the show. Joining the More Than Your Age podcast is the founder and owner of Not Your Average Picnic, Ray Johnson. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you. Ray, I was fortunate enough to experience one of your picnics at my friend's bachelorette party back in, I want to say fall of 2021. I may be incorrect in that, but I found out recently that that's kind of around the time when you had just started your business, and that was one of your first picnics. Your picnics are beautiful. I was just amazed at what was in front of me. People were saying, oh, we're going to have a picnic. And I was like, okay, cool. And then when it was set up, it was phenomenal. So congratulations on the business.
Thank you so much. It's been a whirlwind, but it's been fun so far.
Yeah, I bet it has. Well, I want to have you share all about your business, but before we hear about Not Your Average Picnic, I want to learn a little bit more about you and how you got to where you are now. So could you just share a little bit of where you're from and what you were doing before you started your business?
Yeah, so I am originally from Alabama, a small town north of Birmingham. Not a lot of people really know about it. You know, it's Alabama. And then I went to school at UAB, majored in accounting. And so I was always doing finance, but I really wanted something to, you know, kind of get me out of my creative or get into a creative space. And so I left finance in 2017 and I joined Teach for America. And so I moved to San Antonio. And so I taught for 3 years, middle school, high school math, did that for a while. And then I was just like, okay, I love kids, but I need to be out of the classroom. And so I moved to Dallas and then went back into finance, but for a school district. But in between all of that, when I moved to Dallas is when I kind of really started off with Not Your Average Picnic. So, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. So you said you worked in finance for a school district in Dallas. What district?
Yes, Uplift Education.
Oh, yeah. Very familiar with that. Okay.
Yeah.
And so to kind of go back, I'm curious about your teaching for Teach for America. Did you teach math or what did you teach?
Yeah, math. Middle school and high school math.
Okay.
So I still was in that realm of, you know, finance, accounting, but yeah, definitely math. I'm a math girl through and through.
Well, I love that considering your business. I mean, you have to know math for financial purposes, but it really has nothing to do with math.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I did not teach math, but I taught middle school and high school Spanish for a while. Did you find that you enjoyed middle school or high school better than the other?
Yeah. So, I mean, I taught like sixth graders and seventh graders, you know, it's up and down with them. Some days are great. Some days are not so great, but I did enjoy like them wanting to still, you know, be nurtured, but then they, you know, have the concept of like, I'm an adult, you know, and rather than high schoolers, it wasn't a strong connection with them because they already kind of are like, okay, this is what I need to do, I'll do it. And they don't, you know, need that validation really from an adult, more per se, like in the classroom, a teacher. So I enjoyed middle schoolers a lot more. I got more hugs, you know, but in my high schoolers, but.
Yeah, I was the same too. Middle school, I did not love the high school. I loved middle school. They were like quirky and weird, and you never knew what you were going to get out of them.
Exactly. You might get a tantrum one day. You might, like, you know, it's very, very weird.
Yeah. The next day they come to you, they're like, you're my favorite teacher. And then that afternoon, they're like, I hate you.
Exactly.
So you knew that the Teach for America was a short-term option. And so then you moved to Dallas and you worked in finance for Uplift Education, which is very needed and is a very good form of education. Was the idea of starting a business ever in your mind, like something that you wanted to do?
I mean, yes and no, right? Like, I've never really had a business, never really, you know, thought about doing it. But like during COVID, I was like, you know, I want something that I feel passionate about again, because obviously finance, it pays bills, you know, but it's not something that I'm passionate about. So I wanted something to where I can make income, but then also, you know, kind of feel happy about, you know, like purposeful in certain things. Because education, you know, you find purpose in it, that it's definitely a purpose driven job. And so I wanted something like that. So, yeah, I mean, I thought about it in a sense, but I never was really serious about it until I moved to Dallas.
Okay. And when you were working for Uplift Education, was that in the middle of the pandemic, or had the pandemic occurred while you were already there?
Yeah, so I moved during pandemic. So I moved July of 2020, and that's when I started Not Your Average Picnic and Uplift Education.
Okay, so, okay. Yeah. So you were doing both at the same time. Okay, so so you had shared too in your Voyager interview that the business grew during quarantine, which is what you mentioned, and you wanted to grow gifts that you didn't know that you had. And so how did the idea come to be, and how the idea of not Your Average Picnic, and then how did you discover that these were gifts that you didn't know? And then what were these gifts?
No, for sure. So actually, funny enough, I started it right after my best friend's birthday. So her birthday was May of 2020, and it was like right when everything shut down. And so we had all kind of moved away from each other. So she was in San Antonio with me during Teach for America. That's how I met her. And then she moved to Houston. And so when it happened, she was, you know, she had just broken up with her boyfriend, you know, felt alone, all those things. And so we were like, you know what, like, we can't be in close, you know, rooms. Let's just go outside and do something, and let's travel to Houston and see her. So me and her other friend, we traveled to Houston, and then I set up a picnic outside of her apartment complex. And just like during that time of like, you know, conversating and like, you know, having champagne and just really enjoying each other's company, we were out there, I would say, until 11 p.m. from like 5 to 11, you know, laughing and talking. And people were like driving down the road and like honking their horns and waving at us and like, you know, saying, oh, that, like, that's so great. And just seeing the excitement on other people's faces, and then obviously like seeing her excitement, I was like, you know what, I can make this a business, because it not only like brings joy to, you know, the people that are doing it, but also the people that are around it that get to, you know, see it. And so that's kind of like how that worked, I guess, or like played a part. But I've always really, you know, been a part of people's special moments. Before I started the business, you know, I was always the one that was in charge of, you know, planning and doing the gift basket for our company parties, or, you know, someone's baby shower at the office. And so it was always just me being able to express that in like a sense, you know. And so I was able, I guess, to like mature those gifts in that way, as far as like creativity and, you know, doing things with my hands and, you know, using that other side of the brain.
Yeah. And so because you would help throw like different showers or different events at the office or friends parties, you already knew that you had this talent to make things pretty and make people feel welcome. And so when you did this picnic for your friend, had you seen other people do picnics before? Or you have your normal picnic of like just a red checkered blanket and a basket, but yours definitely do not look like that. And so had you seen other people do that, or you're just like, no, we'll do a picnic and I'm gonna make it look extra special?
Yeah, so I actually saw a company out in Houston do it. And so they're actually called Picnic in the City. Shout out to them. They're amazing. And I think they kind of trailblazed everyone, you know, because they were, from my knowledge, the first to really start it. And so I saw theirs and I was like, you know what? Like, I want to do this for her too. Let me just bring my coffee table. So I actually like packed my coffee table and all the things I needed and then, you know, drove it down to Houston to see if I could do it too. So, I mean, it was definitely nice, but I definitely got the idea for like luxury picnics from them.
Okay. Okay. And so when you, after her party and, you know, people were saying, you're doing a great job, this is beautiful. And you thought, okay, I can start a business. Were you initially thinking like side hustle, that's it? Or were you hoping, no, I'm going to like grow this and make this into a full-time business?
I was definitely thinking side hustle for sure, like then and there, because, you know, my finance brain, I'm like, I need something that's secure. And obviously, like having a business, there are, you know, waves, valleys, and, you know, and hilltops. So I thought about it, you know, as in this is going to be my side hustle, but I want to grow it to be full-time one day. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't gotten there yet, but so far we're trying.
Yeah, you're doing, I mean, from the outside perspective, you're doing great. It looks beautiful. So I'm curious to know, too, how did you obtain your first customers outside of family and friends? And then how did they hear about you?
Yeah, so right after her event in May, I had, 2 months left in San Antonio. And so my first customer was another girl that I taught with. And so she wanted something for, like, her boyfriend. So she reached out to me. I set that up for her. That was, like, my very first one. So pretty much word of mouth. So I did 2 picnics in San Antonio. And then when I moved, that's when it kind of, you know, just skyrocketed. But, yeah.
So how did people hear about you? Good job, Ashley. Thank you. So when you moved to Dallas and it skyrocketed, was it more word of mouth, or how did people know about you because San Antonio and Dallas, I mean, it's not super close.
No, for sure. So I did giveaways. I connected with Dallas Sites when I first got there. And so I paid for their giveaway thing. So I did that with them. And that's what really, you know, put my name out there. Which obviously now, if you try to connect with Dallas Sites, they're an amazing company, but they are extremely expensive. So I guess I got them right at a good time. So I did it with them, and then I did giveaways, and that's what really kind of helped me. And I reached out to other influencers in the area, you know, and was like, hey, can I set up a date night for you and your boyfriend or whatnot? And so that really helped as far as, clientele, followers. And from there, it was just word of mouth.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea, or was a good idea for you to reach out to people of influence who have an audience and show them, hey, this is what I can do. Yeah, that's awesome.
For sure.
So, okay, so during quarantine and COVID, outside gatherings were really popular. And so the need for a picnic and setting something up outside was huge and extremely necessary. And so once people started gathering more indoors, did you notice that this affected your business or not?
For sure. Definitely. And then also, you know, once people start seeing it and it starts becoming a trend, then more and more picnic companies pop up. And so I was definitely seeing, you know, more and more picnic companies pop up in Dallas, which obviously affects, you know, my business. And then obviously the heat that's here in Dallas and Texas in general, that definitely affects my business. So I've realized, you know, obviously the seasons, you know, those change. Summer months are very slow for me when it comes to picnics. And so that's when I've started to kind of branch out and do other things outside of picnics, which is what I'm doing now. And it's what I honestly love more, setting those intimate moments in inside spaces.
So you had to pivot. If you would, you know, go ahead and share a little bit about what it is that you've had to pivot to where you are setting up things that are indoor. Like you said, they're more intimate moments. What are some of those?
Yeah. So like proposals, engagement parties, birthday parties. I do a lot of dinner parties now, which is really fun. Bridal showers, baby showers, all of those things. So I'm more so, I've went from picnics now to full service event planning. So I'm like planning the event, designing it, you know, contacting my vendors, all of that good stuff. And so that's kind of more so what I've pivoted to as of today.
Oh, Well, that's great. In that too, I'd love to hear how growth has looked since that first year. And then you just kind of talked about what your business has kind of morphed into. Anything else that has changed in your business since you first started?
Let's see. What are the changes besides of those things? I'm getting into weddings now, which is really neat. So that's really cool. So obviously, from the first year of doing it, it was always picnic, picnic, picnic. You know, and that's what people saw me as. And then just really trying to rebrand, which doesn't really help that my name is not your average picnic. So I am working on, you know, kind of changing that name, rebranding, maybe. Not your average events, you know, something of that nature, just so I don't place myself in a box, right? Because I feel like we can always place ourselves in a box and there's more to us than, you know, what meets the eye. So it's definitely grown in that way, you know, outside of the picnic era. And I'm, you know, wanting to get more so into weddings, expand in that way, expand my knowledge, connect with wedding vendors, but more so like not huge weddings, like intimate. I feel like I'm still in the intimate space. I don't want to get to, you know, 400, 500 people, unless, you know, it's God's will, but that's not really where, you know, where I want to be. I want to kind of stay in that intimate setting with friends and family who want to, yeah, book with me. So,
yeah. Now, are you running the show primarily on your own, or have you started employing staff?
So, yes, I am so thankful to have friends, like guy friends, girlfriends who, you know, will come and help me, and I just hire them on to, you know, help with the big things. But as far as like small events, I more so run the show myself. But if it's something that I need, I'll definitely hire on. But I don't have any full-time, you know, workers in that sense.
Are you hoping to have that? Okay. I was going to say, are you hoping to have that, or you do kind of like the fact that it's you and then you can just hire as needed? I'm putting a pause just momentarily on the episode because I want to ask you to do a favor for me. Would you pause the episode and would you share this podcast with one friend who you think would love to hear some inspiring stories from incredible women? This would help me and help the show grow. I would love for more and more women to hear these incredible stories. So go ahead, pause the app, share this episode or share the podcast with a friend, and then come back to hear the rest of the story.
I like the fact that it's me, but then that also, you know, puts restrictions. So for instance, like this upcoming weekend, I have like three events this weekend. And so, and the time kind of overlaps. So I'm a little bit stressed, you know, but like I said, thankfully I have someone that I can be like, hey, can you go set this picnic up? It's, you know, it's very easy while I go handle the big, you know, party that's going on. So I definitely hope to hire on once things start, you know, kind of revving up and hopefully, you know, I have the funds to do so. But that is the plan, to go full time one day and then have a whole team.
Yes. So how many hours, I guess, throughout the week are you working on your business compared to, since it's not currently full time? So I'm assuming, are you still working with Uplift or do you have other jobs? You are? Okay. So she's on her lunch break, y'all.
I'm on my lunch break.
She's not taking company time. Okay. Wow. So when do you work on, I mean, obviously on the weekends, but then when do you work on Not Your Average Picnic?
So after hours, so after 4 o'clock. And then thankfully we're hybrid, which is a blessing for me. So we're 2 days in the office, 3 days out of the office. And so today's my obviously in office day. But, you know, when you're working from home, it's not as chaotic, you know what I'm saying? So I can, you know, take a lunch and fold some menus or, you know, kind of work at home on both simultaneously. So that's kind of what I've been doing. And then, yeah, after hours. Yeah.
You're making it happen. Well, and I'm curious to know, too, what were some of the fears that you had just stepping into this business?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the biggest, you know, fear is like, am I going to fail? You know, am I going to lose all of my money? Am I going to be impactful in this huge, you know, world of things, right? Because there's so many different planners. There's, you know, all those things. And what's really helped me is like to remember to stay in my own lane, you know? It's okay to, you know, get ideas or look around a little bit, but like that really destroys your focus and like why you do what you do. So yeah, because comparison is real and it kills. Yeah.
It does. So to that, because it's so easy. I mean, all of us, I think women in general, and I can't speak for men, but women in general, we just struggle with comparison, especially if you're, like you're saying, you're seeing what other companies are doing and you're like, okay, I just need to stay in my lane. So when you do see somebody else doing something and it may appear that it's drastically better or they have it better, you know, they're making way more money. How are you really, what are you doing to stay grounded and to focus on your lane?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely check myself. And then I also, you know, I try to start with gratitude and like thankfulness, you know, like I'm thankful that I get to do this. And then just, you know, just I guess staying in my faith, staying centered has really helped, obviously, because like I said, comparison does kill. And sometimes you look around and you're like, wow, they started, you know, way after I did. And they're working with X, Y, and Z vendor, or they're working with, for example, Topo Chico or whatever, you know, and it's just like, how are they getting this, you know? And so really, like I said, staying in my lane and then just putting myself out there, you know, staying positive for sure, you know, and like realizing that like I can only do what I've been given, you know? And so if I'm working in my own lane, then like I'm going to be blessed in whatever way that comes about. So,
yeah. And you said too, like working on putting yourself out there. What are some of those things that you're working on to put yourself out there?
Yeah. So like going to open houses. So I am somewhat of an introvert, which is very strange. I'm like an introvert extrovert, I guess you could say. And so
that's the finance in you.
Right. I know. So I'm like, I'm the person that, you know, I will be in the background. I will create anything you need and put it out there. And like, I want to see your face and like how you really enjoy it, but I don't have to be the person like in the spotlight. So I've learned that in order to, you know, be connected and to meet all these other vendors, because obviously it's all about relationships in this business. You have to, you know, support the other businesses. You have to show up at their functions or like networking events. And so that's what I've been really focusing on in 2024 is, you know, kind of keeping those relationships and like, you know, showing up for people.
Yeah, that's great. And also focusing on those relationships and then the people that have already purchased from you when they get to know you and hopefully they'll become repeat customers. Like I know that's a goal.
Yes, for sure.
Well. Yeah. Well, and I know I saw you recently share online that you were interviewed for the news. How did that happen? And how did you get there?
Once again, it's one of those things when you stay in your lane, you're blessed with different things. That's literally how I put it. One of the producers from Good Morning Texas just kind of hopped in my DMs and she said that she saw me on something, like just saw my work, and then was wanting me to come on and do a segment for Galentine's Day. And I was like, is this fraud? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is very weird. That was my first thing. I'm like, this is weird. And then we scheduled a call and we spoke about like her expectations and what she wanted to do. And it was great. And it obviously was real.
So yeah. Yeah. Did you experience any type of nerves or how did you feel stepping into the studio?
I was honestly terrified. Because once again, it's like, you know, talking on camera. I've never been on the news before or in front of that, you know, like that many cameras, people and things like that. But thankfully, my sister, she lives in Florida right now. And so she flew in to visit and to be there for me for the segment. So I was like, oh, thank God. Like, you know, like it's always nice to have a face in the crowd that you know. And so she was there to support and to kind of, you know, talk me down off of ledges and all those things. And it was great. But yeah, definitely needed her for that support.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of businesses, we had already talked about that you kind of run in the show. I mean, you'll ask for help from different family members and friends as needed. And your social media, a lot of people will hire that out. Is that something that you've hired out or is that still part of your creative process too?
It's still part of the creative process. Yes, indeed. I would love, you know, to hire, you know, like, you know, the social media managers, people to kind of push those things out, push marketing. But as of now, I mean, I've just been kind of doing it, running campaigns and ads, you know, here and there. But obviously, I know that if I were to hire someone, it would definitely, you know, make the business run smoother and obviously, you know, kind of reach more people. But as of now, I'm kind of doing it myself.
Well, it looks great. Obviously, I mean, you have that creative vision because of your events and your picnics are just absolutely beautiful. I wanted to know too, just because the podcast is all about chasing after the things that you want to, regardless of your age or your season in life. And how old were you when you started Not Your Average Picnic?
So I am 30 now, and I started when I was 27.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm going to be, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's, I mean, no matter what, starting a business is super scary, but I'm curious to know, did your age or season in life ever affect your thoughts or play into any decisions on regarding the business?
I mean, honestly, no, in a sense. So like if I was doing this full time, I would say definitely so. Because obviously I am a single person, not married, don't have kids. So that's been helpful. Like if I need to go somewhere and do something, I can easily do it. And I don't have to worry about, you know, anything or anyone or any obligations. But it would, if I did have, you know, a spouse or, you know, other things of that nature, that would, in my opinion, help me more. You know, because I see other, you know, vendors that have, you know, family and husbands or whatever. And they're also like they're putting them to work, you know, in a, you know, nice way, not, you know, kind of slaving them away. But it's also nice that like they have that support and they can do more and accomplish more. So being a single person, I've seen that, you know, that negative part of it all, because it is just me, you know, and I have to make sure that it gets done regardless. I don't know if I answered your question or not, but
yeah, I think so. I mean, I just think it's, that's why I'm doing this is I love just seeing women go after the, like they have an idea and they're doing it. Cause like I would have a conversation like back when I was in my 20s and early 30s, I was single as well. And women would say, oh, you know, well, I want to do like get my master's or I want to start this business, but I'm single. And so I can't, I don't have anyone to like help me financially. And It's like, okay, well you don't. And so are we going to use that as an excuse or are we going to push forward and actually like do something about it? And that's what's really cool about you is that you are doing something about it. And no, it's not full-time right now. But you have a job that is helping you financially so that you can still chase after this so that as it continues to grow, you know, uplift earmuffs, one day you can hopefully, you know, run this and do it full-time like you say you want to do.
No, for sure. And like one thing about like my team and like my finance department, they all know that I have Not Your Average Picnic, every single one of them, which is hilarious because they're like, oh, how's business going? Like, do you have events this weekend? And so it's nice to have that support too from my full-time job, even though obviously like they're not, you know, saying, hey, do that rather than, you know, doing your job itself. But it's just nice to see their support and them being like, oh yeah, like I saw you on the news, you know, like good job, you know, like my boss and everything. So it's definitely been a blessing to have Uplift Education as a full-time job and just like the leniency with certain things and yeah, just the flexibility. I wouldn't be able to do Not Your Average Picnic without my team for sure.
Yeah, that's huge. And so I'm thankful that you have that additional support as well, because it's really important for people to stand behind you and back you up and support you in that capacity as well. Well, I want to give this space for you to, I mean, we've talked about the business, but to share a little bit more where, you know, where can they find you as far as social media and your website and just kind of plug in more about your business and the services that you offer.
Yeah, for sure. So they can find me on Instagram at Not Your Average Picnic, and that's NOTUR, Average Picnic. And then the same thing for my website, notyouraveragepicnic.com, and Gmail, or not Gmail, my goodness, email address, same thing, notyouraveragepicnic@gmail.com. But yeah, and I would love to, you know, work with them, be their listening ear, all that good stuff.
And so when they want to use you to book you for events or like you're saying, like small intimate moments, if it's like it's somebody's a birthday party and, you know, maybe like 25 to 30 people, what do you provide and how do you set up and what does that look like for somebody?
Yeah. So I honestly do as little or as much as they want me to do. So that's kind of where I kind of lead people. So if they want me to come in and just, you know, design a tablescape, or if they want me to come in and do a backdrop, or if they have no clue at all where they want it to be, the food, like the guest list, any of that, I can do the whole shebang as well. So I kind of leave that open to what they want and what they need, and I just kind of provide them the best service I can in whatever capacity that looks like.
Yeah. Now, when somebody does book with you and they want you very involved in it, do you provide the decorations, or is that something that they have to pick up, they provide that, and then you set it up, or is it kind of a mix?
Yeah, that's something that's a part of their whole contract, yeah, and their whole invoice. So I would come in and literally bring everything, hire all the vendors, you know, hire cake, hire catering, hire photographer, like all the things. And so they would just come in and enjoy and then leave. They don't have to worry about setting up, breaking down. It's, yeah, full service.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds great. I'm like, oh, man, should have called you the other day. I knew to call you, but. Okay, well, I mentioned already, you're like, the things that I've seen that you've done and what I personally have experienced is just absolutely beautiful. Like, people in the Dallas area, Dallas-Fort Worth area, definitely need to look into your company just for any type of event. Like you're saying, those intimate moments, even special date, I highly encourage that. But Ray, I'm going to end on our last question, which is the question that I love to ask all of my guests. And so I'm excited to hear what you have to say. So as we mentioned, women often feel like they can't do something based on their age. They're too young, too old, or life circumstance. I'm single, I'm married, I have kids, no kids, whatever the excuse is. And so if you could encourage one woman who feels blocked or limited to pursue a dream or goal based on her age or life circumstance, what would you tell her?
I would tell her to go for it. And there's always something on the other side of your yes, right? Like, people are waiting on you. They're waiting on your gifts, your passions, your heart, all that stuff, and just to go for it. You know, like, if it's put on your heart, then you have the ability to do it. So, yeah.
I like that there's always something on the other side of your yes. I'm like, ooh, that's good.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Ray, I am just excited to see where your company just takes off even further down the road. It's been fun for me to see it as an outsider looking in since I got to experience it. I guess it's been 3 years now almost. And so I just appreciate your time on your lunch break for joining me on the More Than Your Age podcast. Thank you so much, Ray.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me, Erica.
Absolutely. If you were encouraged by today's episode, like and subscribe to this podcast and share this episode with a friend. You can find me on Instagram at More Than Your Age and visit the More Than Your Age Facebook page. Keep striving for your goals, live fully, and we'll catch you next time on the More Than Your Age podcast.